Time now for the Morning Line here on KMA. Well, of course, the combines are rolling all across KMA land, and farmers are reminded of safety aspects as the harvest is underway. Iowa Agriculture Secretary Mike Naig is with us on the line this morning with an update on this development and others. Good morning to you, Mr. Secretary.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Always great to catch up.
As we talk to you, I know you've been busy yourself with the harvest. Even in your position, the harvest and the work never stops.
Well, that's right. I got to tell you, Mike, I'm looking at just a gorgeous sunrise up in Palo Alto County over a harvested soybean field, but we got some corn out there that we're going to go out and get today. So as I shared with you before, I'm singing bass today, as you can tell. Little bit of dust in the air, but yeah, great progress happening across the state. We had, you know, that shot of rain earlier in the week, and I know there's some rain this morning on the radar, but for the most part, boy, if it's fit, folks are really hitting it hard, and I think we're taking a big chunk out of that soybean and corn harvest both. So I think when we do have a report, and of course we don't have a USDA harvest progress report right now because of the shutdown, but you don't need a report to know that folks are out there really hitting it hard.
That brings to mind a question. We still have, it's day 9 of the government shutdown. What kind of an impact is this having on farming and agriculture programs, besides, of course, the USDA reports, as this shutdown continues on the federal level?
Well, first of all, the whole thing's unfortunate. I think reasonable people look at this and say it's not even really, I get that it's politics, and I think there are some politics being played with this situation, trying to force a negotiation over something that we need to talk about as a country and as a Congress. But doing it in this way is not right. Let's get the government reopened and bring stability back. I think what it halts is, you know, for instance, we've got a lot. This is a great time for conservation work to be happening, and those USDA offices are closed, which means my folks at the state level are also not able to access those offices and work. And so that's frustrating because we've got so much momentum and so much happening this time of year on the conservation standpoint. But the other is just flat out to be able to access those Farm Service Agency offices. I know folks are waiting for some payments, on contracts, commitments that have been made by the government. And, in this tight economy, if you're waiting for a payment of some kind and you just can't flat out access it because of a government shutdown, that's wrong. And it's bringing instability and question marks where we need certainty this time of year.
Well, getting back to the harvest, that subject, what are some of the early indicators of soybean and corn yields from this year's crops?
You know, I hear a lot of variability, and I think we talked about maybe before that the occurrence of southern rust came into the state. Now, that's something that affected the corn crop, and there are parts of the state that had significant rust impact. And so you're hearing about some pretty dramatic yield reductions. There are also parts of the state that were too wet, and I'm hearing about hearing about some yield impact because of that as well. And then I talk to folks that say it's the best crop they've ever had. So I think the story is going to probably be variability depending on how much moisture did you have. Did you have too much water? And then to what extent did rust affect? Hearing some strong soybean yields across the state. And, let's put it this way. Maybe the crop isn't quite as good as what we all thought it was going to be, maybe that middle of July time frame. But we have a solid crop, and in fact, you got a lot of folks talking about where are we going to store this crop, and so those are things that people are thinking about right now.
Of course, harvest season brings to mind safety this time of year. What are some of the main dangers of harvest season now that work is underway on most fields across the state?
Well, you know, it's getting dark earlier, and things like, I always think about when you pull a piece of equipment out on the road at night after dark, and do you have the lights? Are the lights working? Those types of things. You know, are you taking time this time of year to do the maintenance that you need to do, keep safety shields in place, those types of things? And then the dust. We've been unfortunately hearing about dry conditions and dust and fires, field fires, with too many of those this year. Those are some of the real challenges. Folks just need to be ready, fire extinguishers, etc. But the other thing is just patience on the road. you know, there's we're working long hours. Folks are, you know, they're working around the clock. Patients on the road, you get around for the non-farm public, especially you get around a truck or a piece of equipment. Just give a wide berth, which we slow down. We want to make sure everybody gets through safe and sound. And so those are the types of things that I'm thinking about. And that, I guess I always think about kids. Kids, we want our kids out in the combine riding with us and around the yard and experiencing farm life. And yet that also presents a safety challenge. And so just making sure that everybody's aware, those kids and everybody working around the farm, about that as well. So it's a time, middle of the year, whether you've done something once or you've done it 1,000 times, mm-hmm. just be thinking about safety.
I've been talking to a lot of field, a lot of fire chiefs about the possibility of field fires or the dry conditions we've had. What are some steps that producers should take as far as their equipment is concerned to prevent any sort of combine fires and things like that?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, you compare 90-degree temperatures, low humidities, and winds 25, 30, 35-mile-an-hour wind gusts, that's a recipe for a field fire. So one is, you know, again, keeping that equipment blown off and clear of debris to the best you can. Of course, that's really challenging, but taking time to do that periodically, be very, very mindful. And then the other is, you know, it's easier said than done, but have a plan, right? That if you had a fire, what piece of equipment is already hooked on, or what would you hook on? You know, those types of things. Who would you call? I think a lot of it is acting very quickly, but being aware of that machine and what smells hot, what looks wrong, where might you throw a spark? I mean, those are just the types of things that you got to be very, very mindful of. But I would always say, have a plan. Or if you had to go address a fire, and what would you do to be ready for it?
There's other issues, of course, to be thinking about, including a recent report of highly pathogenic avian influenza detected in a commercial turkey flock in Calhoun County. Pardon me. How serious is the infestation right now?
Yeah, then you know that was. Gosh, not that it's unexpected. Unfortunately, we've been picking up high path in some wild birds that had been sampled together with the DNR. We saw some outbreaks, some positive cases in Minnesota and the Dakotas. And so what that was telling us is that, once again, the wild bird population is carrying a virulent strain of high path. And I won't say it was just a matter of when, not if, but you start to see those indicators and you say, chances are pretty good that we were going to be dealing with it. It is a little earlier, Mike. I think previous years, and we've done this now 4 falls in a row, previously the earliest was October 20th, I believe. And so a little earlier, which is strange because it had been so hot. So I guess the short answer to your question of how big an issue is this is we really don't know yet. That's why we work so quickly to address the positive cases that we do. We don't want to see spread from farm to farm. This case, that absolutely played out. The farmer and the partner involved did just that. Our team acted. No interruption because of government shutdown whatsoever. So all systems normal there. And now time will just tell as we get through the fall. What we need is those wild birds to move south. I might result in you getting some letters from listeners, but we need it to get cold and move those birds south.
Well, actually, you're not the only person who has said that. Some of the heat that we've had over the last few months or so. But besides, you know, moving south, are there steps that producers should still take to avoid avian flu?
Yeah, so absolutely. You know, look, our commercial poultry producers have done significant improvements to their biosecurity. I'm really proud, and they should be proud. Huge investment in the fact that in previous outbreaks, we saw a lot of movement from farm to farm, meaning that the biosecurity was lax enough that it was literally moving somehow, either by feed truck or by people or et cetera, equipment from farm to farm. That doesn't happen anymore. What we have is wild birds independently introducing high path into a facility. And so it is a time to be thinking about that interaction between your birds and wild birds. And that applies to backyard flocks as well. And the other is, be mindful of the symptoms. You can go to iowaagriculture.gov. We have a high path page there with a symptomology of high path, things you could be looking for. If you have any suspicions, call your vet or call our vets. And better to know, let's get a test. And the faster that we can detect these things, the faster we can act. the better chance we have of keeping it from becoming a bigger issue.
Mike, we've run out of time. Thank you very much for being with us this morning. Continued success in the harvest to you and all producers. And we'll talk to you again soon. Have a good day.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mike.
That's Iowa Agriculture Secretary Mike Naig on the Morning Line on KMA.